Mike Anderson.
Yes.
We got into this one way or another the other day.
Yeah, yesterday.
About,
Keith was talking about how he drives like a maniac.
Well, no, he said he's a bad driver.
Right. I think he implied that he speeds.
I speed. I will say this, though. I was coming home from Halloween on Tuesday from Locust Point all the way up around the Beltway. And I'll drive faster than the speed limit most of the time. But if there's a lot of cars and there's nowhere to go, you just have to, you know, succumb to that and just kind of drive. There was four or five cars that were kind of like racing. And they did that whole like zoom up past. God. And then they do that weave in and out where they're just splitting the seams, and then they like go off into the distance, and I'm convinced I'm going to see brake lights in a cloud of dust, and it never happens.
Or you wait for those, like, you look in your rear view for some red and blue lights coming flying up behind you, or you pray for that.
Because on the schedule it says, what's it like to pull someone over? So we're casting a very small net here if we're opening up the phone lines, because I guess we're looking for people who have the authority to pull someone over, which would be law enforcement.
Somebody who's dreamt of pulling someone over and what they would envision that to
because
be.
Because that's what Mike is doing here. He's dreaming and envisioning what it would be like to pull over one of those jackass a-holes who is just out there on the roadways acting like a jerk, right?
Yeah, give us your dream, Mike.
Yeah, well, my dream would be in an undercover cop car. I'm driving an all-black Crown Vic, or maybe one of those like Ford. What they drive Ford Explorers, I think, too. Yeah, give me one of those all-black, and I see one of these jackasses, just like you did, coming flying up behind me on 83, weaving in and out of traffic, no turn signals, not even checking their mirrors. I'll notice that, too. They don't even care. It's just like they just pull into the next lane without even looking, like they have a death wish. And every time I see this, I'm like, God, I would kill to be a cop right now and just be able to turn my lights on, pull this jackass over, walk up to that window, tap my gun on their window to open it up.
That's not what they do.
That's not what you do.
Well, I've gone rogue at this point. I'm a rogue cop.
That's not how it works.
A la Dirty Harry. yeah. And just see the fear of God in their eyes as I come up to their window and
you're
slap
also
them with
assuming
a
that
book.
They would fear that because don't always go down that way. Don't always work that way.
I guess, yeah, I guess.
It don't always work that way.
Yeah, you're way off base here, Mike. When a cop is pulling someone over, I don't want to say they're terrified, but they are very, very on guard.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be.
They're not feeling this sense of, you know, I'm going to make things right. They're like, okay.
I need to make
sure.
Yeah,
I got to protect myself.
I don't know who's in this car. I don't know what's in this car. I don't know who, yeah.
Every time I see a police car stopped in the middle of the night, I always think that it's dangerous. It's a dangerous job any time of day.
Oh, gosh.
But I can't imagine the fear going up to this car.
Totally random car.
Yeah, at night.
At night, you don't know who's in there. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what this person's up to. You don't know what their record is. You don't know if it's just a soccer mom who's rushing because she's got diarrhea, or it's a guy who's been drinking, or it's a drug dealer. Like, you have no idea.
Right. But I mean, you got to think, if you've joined the force, that part of, you know, you have to enjoy justice and delivering justice. And you also kind of probably enjoy a little bit of danger, too. I mean, obviously, you don't want to risk your life, but, I mean, you got into a dangerous job. You gotta,
I think about, like, the movie The Hurt Locker, where, you know, he's somewhere where there's this testosterone and adrenaline. It's coursing, and then all of a sudden you're back and you're buying, you know, milk. So, yeah, I mean, if you're – and police officers who have to engage – I didn't think about bouncers. You know, how many times are you in a fight in your life? Once or twice?
Yeah.
You know, these guys, this is happening, you know, every, at least, you know, for a police officer, you know, once a day probably. There's something, some high, you know, tension moment.
Yeah. Mike Anderson has fantasy of what it would be like.
And really,
driving down the road, you see one of them jackasses doing the thing jackasses do, swerving in and out, whatever, acting like an idiot. And then you're in the undercover car, and they don't know you're there, and you flip on the lights, and you pull them over, and you enforce the law. That's what somebody said, Mike. Cops don't get justice. They just enforce the law. Justice comes from the
justice process starts
has
there.
Has started there. And I guess it could be, yeah. Let's see what you
mean. The cops write the tickets, and then the judge obviously enforces them. But, I mean, you know, like I said, it begins there with police. God bless them.
Texas says, both my parents were cops for 30 years, just retired. They were glad to retire because the climate has changed so much. They were scared to pull people over because of how bad things are getting. You never know who you're going to pull over and how bad things are going to be in the car. They've both been shot at but never returned fire. I'm telling you, man, walking up to the car is, you're not like walking up there like, yeah, I'm going to get this guy for speeding. It's more of like, man, I got to make sure I go home tonight.
Oh, when they walk to the car, don't they have to have their hand on their weapon as they walk
up? Like, it's weird because like, I don't want to sound like an idiot and I don't know any of the protocol and I don't know anything. But like I said, I watch live PD now, and when they, like Spiegel said, it's nighttime.
It's terrifying.
Approaching this. I'm on the couch and yes. I'm terrified. And I'm at home at the safety of my home and I'm terrified for these cops. I'm like, oh my God. And then you see some of them approach like the passenger side to like catch them off guard. Like it's woof.
Not Mike. Guys, well, I can't wait to run up there. Knock on the window.
Obviously, they became cops because part of this was attractive to them. And also, you hear, too, a lot of times when people run from the cops, they say they get legitimately angry that they're running from them. And that's got to fuel, you know, them to pursue, obviously.
Yeah. Somebody says I was on ride along and someone was weaving in and out of traffic, being an a-hole, flying up the shoulder. And he was on the ride along. The cop looked at him and smiled, flipped on the lights. It was an awesome feeling. My neighbor is a Howard County canine. I did a ride along a few weeks ago with him on a Friday night. He only works nights. I asked him if he still gets butterflies or nervous when he walks up to the car. He laughed. He said he doesn't even think about it anymore.
Huh.
So pretty interesting. We'll go to the phones. Line one, we have Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Pretty good.
You're a police officer.
Yes, I am.
So
in D.C.
Break it down for us. Are we off base, on base? What goes
well,
down?
I think you're going to find when you start answering these phone calls with the other officers, when you start out, you're all gung-ho. You're like, you go back to the locker. Yeah, I pulled him over. He was doing this, that, and the other. Can you believe it? I've been doing this so long these days. I'm kind of like, yeah, of course he did.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, and over time, you asked about butterflies and everything. Over time, the biggest problem is you got to fight complacency. It's just like you've done how many traffic stops that didn't go bad, you know?
Did you ever have one that didn't go well?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, I think everybody's had one of those. Guy had a gun. It was
oh
a DUI.
Jeez. Mike can't wait to find that guy.
Right. Well, actually, those are the ones that you're happy with afterwards. You know, you're like, all right, the traffic stop in. I got a good arrest out of it. You know,
you ever stop a woman and she offers to give you a favor to get out of?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Right,
let's go to Jess from South Carolina. Heck, what's up, God. Jess?
Yeah. Hey.
Ooh. Hey.
Hi, Josh.
Hi.
You're the only reason I listen down here.
God. Oh, screw us again.
The only way I listen down here.
That's very nice, but God, please don't say that. God, that puts me in a tough position.
But why are you in South Carolina?
I married a guy in the Navy, and he got stationed down here.
How long have you been down there?
For 1 year.
Does it suck?
No, actually, it's warm, and I have a palm tree in my yard, and I have a pool. It's great. I love it. I mean, I miss the people back home. Yeah. I miss Josh. But at least I get to listen on the app.
Thank you so much.
You miss Josh.
Very nice.
And the Zaxby's chicken down there, too.
It says something about your grandfather. What happened now?
Yeah, it was back in the 70s, so it's a while ago, but it's something that he was very proud of. There was a guy that would speed up and down the street. They lived in Ferndale, not too far away from the airport.
Wow.
And one day he was coming home from work, and he was head-to-head with the guy speeding, and he cut him off and ripped him out of the car and drug him down to his lawn, put him down, you know, held him down and called to my grandmother and said, call the cops, and he actually was arrested.
You, your grandfather?
No, not my grandfather, the guy that was speeding.
But the screen says, I guess your grandfather was considering what he had done was a citizen's arrest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I understand this. This guy was speeding. Your grandfather accosted this guy and falsely imprisoned him, and the guy was arrested?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good old days.
I don't think you can do that nowadays, but back then, I guess it was kosher.
All right, thanks for the call. Enjoy South Carolina. The old citizen's arrest. You don't hear about that every day. Let's go to Ron in Abingdon. What's up, Rob?
Morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. You used to be a cadet?
Yes, sir, I was.
And go ahead.
I used to help out officers when it came to traffic stops or if it was accidents and intersections or something. And it was definitely something else when you go and experience a traffic stop for your first time. And when I went on, I was 18 years old. You know, you got some guys on the force who are, oh, it's no big deal. And you got other guys who are still extremely serious and they've got years upon years on the force. And you just never know what you're going to get with it. You could have the nicest person in the world or you could have someone's ready to pull a gun on you.
Right. And you said it was terrifying.
Yeah, it is terrifying. For instance, short story, my dad's a lieutenant in Baltimore City and I went on a ride along with him and he's being a cop as he normally is because that's his attitude. But we were going on 95 heading into the city and this guy cut him off. Mm-hmm. I was just swerving like nobody's business. And it was just absolutely terrifying. He's like, we're going to pull over this guy.
Oh, God.
And he flips on the lights and I'm scared out of my mind. I'm like, I don't want anything to happen to me. I don't want anything to happen to my dad. And turns out it was just a NYPD officer trying to speed his way to BWI.
Right. And they let him go because he was a former fellow officer?
Yeah, but he was upset with him big time.
All right. Thanks for the call. One more quick one. Jeff, line one. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, gentlemen. Shoot away. What questions do you have?
You're a police officer, correct?
Yes, sir. 23 years active.
And the screen here says something about the fear factor that's involved.
Yeah, I mean, by nature, your car stops are your most dangerous ones. And depending on where you're doing them, like if you do them up on the highway, you're worried about the traffic around you.
Yeah.
Is somebody going to pay attention to the lights and plow into the back of your car? Why is that person speeding? Is it because they got to go to the bathroom or is it because they just finished shooting somebody?
That's exactly
what
I said.
I know when you walk up to the car.
Is Mike off base with his fantasy here of, wanting to pull over this speeder and inflict justice on them? And
It's not so much justice. I mean, it's just if you see a blatant violation, you pursue it and you stop it. But for me personally, honesty goes a long way. If I come up to the vehicle, do the routine, license registration, and you're very honest with me, you're just going to get the check and a warning on your way, But it's when you sit there and say, well, I wasn't speeding. I didn't cut five cars off.
Yeah.
I do this every day, dude. I'm trained. I see what I see. Then you're going to get the little reminder that, no, you shouldn't do that. But, the most part, traffic stops are pretty dangerous, and I don't know a lot of police officers that really do enjoy doing them or get off doing them.
Yeah. What do you say when you approach your car? Do you say license and registration, or do you say, do you know how fast you were going?
Or do you know why I pulled you
always,
over?
I always introduce myself and say, good morning, I'm Officer X, with the, X Police Department.
Right.
Do you know the reason why I stopped you? And then I'll always tell them, I stopped you for, illegal lane change. And then I'll ask, license and registration. And then, the other part, too, that people don't realize is, then I got to go back to the vehicle. And I've got to run all the information.
Oh, we
so
know.
I'm on the computer.
No, we know.
You're going to take a long time back there.
For goddamn 40 minutes.
I know it doesn't take
the
that long.
Is the person in the car. I got to keep an eye on the person in the car
right,
while I'm doing that. Guns under the seat. Who knows? There's a whole bunch of... Your head's kind of on a swivel.
All right.
So it's not really the enjoyment you think. And then if it's a felony car stop, like say it's a stolen car, and you got guns out, that changes the whole scenario altogether.
See, Mike? All right. Thanks for the call. Be safe out there.